Well, hello there and welcome. This is your show, 7+ years of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. Along with Ace, Jeff, and Matt, the show team, I'm Jerry Usher with Debbie Giorgiani. It's the middle of the week. This week for me anyway is going by fast, Debbie, but I'm looking forward to, I think, what could be an impactful conversation today.
Oh, I totally agree, Jerry. Have your school choices changed? Okay, we've been through a major pandemic, and everything got, you know, just completely out of sorts. And we, you know, our schedules, everything with our children, we plan things out for our children, right? You're going to go to this school, and then you're going to graduate to this school, and you're going to do this and that, and activities and sports and everything. Have your school choices changed? Do you feel like you can't even trust the schools anymore and you want to pull them out and homeschool them? How about charter schools? How about private Catholic schools? Are you finding that, you know, sometimes the Catholic schools say they're Catholic, but they don't really practice being Catholic? So many areas we can cover. We want to know about what's happening on the campuses. Okay, so we need your help. You're like the field representatives. You're going to be telling us what's going on. And here is the number, 833-288-3986.
Very well set up by Debbie. And so parents, moms, dads, guardians, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anybody with the care and responsibility of school-age kids today, I wanted to put this on the calendar. I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to because, you know, every day it seems like another abomination is foisted upon our school kids with the wokeness and the critical race theory and the gender fluidity, and you've got drag queens coming in to give story hour to the young children. As parents, are you aware of these things? Are they of concern to you? Also, we have, of course, the all too often, all too frequent violence, you know, in school campuses and so forth. Do you feel that your kids are still safe? So again, it's just an open conversation about, you know, are you still kind of maintaining status quo with your kids, keeping your eyes wide open now, or have you made some educational choices to different from what you've been doing with your kids? The number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And this morning I was just sent a video from a dear friend of ours and a Take Two family member who sent me this video of an interview with Franklin Graham. Okay, and Franklin Graham was saying that we Christians need to be on the school boards. We need to be present. We need to be showing up at these meetings. We need to know what's going on with our children or with the country's going in a very bad direction. Do you feel that way? Are you ready to get on a school board? I have to tell you, I was on a preschool school board many moons ago, and it was difficult. It was rough, and I do, you know, you don't always agree, and it's a tough situation because, you know, you go in there as a Catholic Christian and not everybody agrees. It's very, very difficult. So let's talk about that. Have your school choices changed, and what are you doing about it? What's your new direction? What's your plan as a family? 833-288-3986. Please join us. This could be a very impactful discussion, and a lot of people, a lot of young families, Jerry, are listening to this show. Mm-hmm. In particular, I know because we got the messages last night saying I'm tuning in to hear what people have to say about this.
Calling early is a good thing on the program. We often have very busy phone lines. And if you have something worthwhile and I think helpful to contribute to this conversation, it would be great to have you join us. Again, it's 833-288-3986. And if you're a regular listener to this show, you know Debbie started saying this years ago, teachers, nurses, first responders, we love you, we respect you, we admire you. Maybe you're kind of, as a teacher, trapped in between, you know, some of the stuff that they're expecting you to teach and maybe your moral values or something. Love to have some teachers weigh in on this today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not criticizing anyone. This is just a very frank and candid conversation for mostly parents. If you have made some decisions to change your educational direction for your kids, 833-288-3986.
This is a very important discussion we're having today, so we really need you to weigh in. I agree. Teachers, principals, if you can call in, tell us what's going on the campuses. You talked about CRT, critical race theory, Jerry. Yeah, it's a big problem. All this, how about if you live in a state that they're not telling you what's going on with your minor children? They're bringing them in, asking them very, very, you know, I think it's an overreach. They're asking them these very these questions that are very deep, that really need to, the conversations need to be happening between parent and child, not a counselor, a school teacher, and a child, right? Especially about their gender, and there are certain states in the U.S. that are kind of pushing parents away and saying, no, this is my time with your child. I don't know about that. You know, it's a good thing I'm not raising small children in this time, because I would have a real problem with that, Jerry. And unfortunately, your state, Jerry, is one of the ones that's doing it.
Don't get me started. The Golden State, the beautiful state of California, which from a moral standpoint is rotting in front of our eyes here in many ways. A lot of good things going on, but some very, very difficult challenges. We still have a couple phone lines that are open here. We've got Gabriel already on the line and Alicia, and a line for you if you would like to join us in this conversation. It's back to school time, so that's why we put this on the calendar, just to see if you, as a dad or a mom, as a married couple, if you've kind of put your heads together, been praying about this, and determining, you know, maybe we need to make some changes in how our kids are educated. Not everybody can homeschool. Not everybody can afford Catholic schools. Maybe you just simply have no other choice but to put your kids in a school where a lot of these very strange and I think insidious things are being taught. This is a wide open conversation for any and all of you at 833-288-3986.
What about some of those schools, I believe, I think near the Chicago area or something, that was starting a Satan club or something, mm-hmm. after school Satan club or something like that? I mean, what about that? If I got that area wrong, please somebody call in and correct me. But I'll tell you what, we've got to make some bold changes for our children if we're going to protect their innocence. Do you agree with that? 833-288-3986. Tell us your school choices and how they have changed. We need to know. Please help us today. 833-288-3986. Join us, please.
Well, we see that several of you have something to weigh in on with on today's topic regarding your educational choices, given the direction of many schools, some of the things going on, some of the things being taught, obviously the violence on school campuses. You can't really, knee-jerk changes because of that, because you just hope and pray that security would be sufficient that wouldn't happen. But mainly just some of the ideologies and things that are being presented to really the youngest of our kids. So if you'd like to join us, please call 833-288-3986. And we are on, I don't know, several hundred radio stations, thanks be to God, and EWTN and the staff there have all done just a fantastic job of partnering with individuals and groups across the country to help start Catholic radio stations. And you know what? You could do that too. Maybe you're listening on Sirius XM 130 or the app or the internet, and you want to help maybe try to bring as a gift to your community an AM or FM station. Find out how you can do that, powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. Just email Steve at radio@EWTN.com. The email address is radio@EWTN.com, and you'll be communicating with Steve. And along those lines, Debbie, if I may, just real quickly, I want to give a shout out to one of our longtime EWTN radio family members celebrating their anniversary this week, St. Michael Radio in Great Falls, Montana, 16 years on the air. Congratulations to Tony Roush and his team at KSMR FM 97.1, celebrating 16 years of great Catholic radio with EWTN.
I don't think you can go wrong when you dedicate it to St. Michael. Way to go. St. Michael Radio going 16 years. Congratulations. Okay, we have a couple open phone lines. Please call in and tell us what's going on the school campuses. We want to know, what are your choices as a family for your children? Do you feel like your children are safe and getting a good education, or are you really troubled by it? Your kids come home and things are just a little strange and you're going, what's going on? Please call in. Don't hesitate. This is your show. You don't have to be a Catholic to call in. We consider you part of the Take Two family if you're listening. 833-288-3986. We're going to go to Gabriel, who's up first in Bremerton, Washington, listening on our friends at Sacred Heart Radio. Hi, Gabriel.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good morning here. Maybe afternoon for you guys. Hey, so we're right outside of Seattle. So kind of some of the media thoughts have to do with a bit of our context of where we are. So we have a really vibrant K through 8 school of our parish that's kind of led by some Dominicans from, I think, Nashville. And then actually the high school, we've had to send kind of the kids across the sea, across the Puget Sound, right, to Seattle. But more recently, we've started a high school. And so all of it, K through high school, is all shifted to classical education. So anyway, that's the context. For me, my family has been a bit of like some conflicting values. So we, the kids are all under five. So our oldest are just about to start preschool, and they're going to start at the preschool at the local Catholic school. But anyway, so there's like some conflicting values. On one hand, we value things like ethnic diversity. We value intellectual diversity. But then we value evangelization. So we value like the children and family being involved in the temporal sphere and evangelizing our neighborhood. So that kind of is like, hey, maybe we should go to like a secular school, a local preschool. Then on the other hand, we value deeply our Catholic faith. We value the formation of virtue. And so kind of that conflicting values where we've really had to say, hey, what is primary? And primary for us would be the formation of virtue for the children and really to create that firm foundation for them over time. So where we're like, okay, let's go to the local Catholic school and start thinking in that way. That's kind of been some of the things that we've been thinking through as a family.
That's outstanding, Gabriel. Thanks so much for sharing all of this. I'm very familiar with Bremerton. My sister was buried out of Star of the Sea Parish there, and my brother-in-law lives in Silverdale still, so I love that area. And, you know, you've really touched on a lot of very important things, and I don't know, is Father Derek still the pastor there at Star of the Sea?
He is. Yeah, so I go to Star of the Sea.
Okay.
Excellent parish.
Well, yeah, the reason I asked is because I know him well. He is a man of great holiness and prayer, a fantastic priest, and it's no surprise to me that you have a vibrant, as you said, K through 8 program with the sisters teaching. Now you've got a high school on top of that. This is going to be a jewel in the Archdiocese of Seattle and over on your side of the Puget Sound area, Gabriel, for any parents who really want to tap into what you said, you know, learning the value of virtues and evangelization and those kinds of things. So God bless you. You are very, very blessed. Wouldn't you agree, Debbie?
Oh, I told Gabriel, as you were speaking, I just wish I could bottle you up and send you around the country as just a real wonderful dad. You are very engaged in your family. I mean, you said all the children under 5 years old. Wow. What an incredible, you must have a noisy household. I love that. And I put you and your family in our book. If you would like to give us your wife's first name, I just think it's wonderful. And I love how active you are and how you and your wife are making these family decisions what is best for your children, what's going to get them to heaven, right? And what is going to really give them those great foundational elements. Gabriel, you're amazing. You get my hero award today.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you. And awesome. Thank you.
And her name? Can you give us your wife's name?
Oh, yes.
Name?
Kristen.
Kristen with a K?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, I put you all in the book because we want to make sure you are protected in prayer as you start this school year, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gabriel. Appreciate the call. Great contribution. 833-288-3986. Let's go to Alicia in Rochester, who's been holding patiently. Alicia is listening on the Station of the Cross. Hello, Alicia. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? I'm in crowded place because I wasn't able to know how long I would be waiting. So if you can hear me, I'll move out of this space.
No, we hear you fine.
Okay. Yeah, I'm calling because I have two college-age students, and they both attend Catholic colleges in the D.C. Baltimore area, even though we live in Rochester, New York. And I myself am a state university professor here in New York. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about how much pressure there is upon professors to toe the line, not just with regard to critical race theory, but I'm a pro-life volunteer, and I've brought some of my thoughts and ideas about that into the classroom, which you can imagine has been very taboo. And the interesting thing is there's been very different attitudes towards pro-life in my own children's high school, you know, single-sex, one Jesuit, one Sisters of Mercy high schools. And surprisingly, the Jesuit boys' school was more pro-life than the Sisters of Mercy girls' school. In fact, my daughter did her senior thesis on pro-life causes for the organization we both work for here, Feminists Choosing Life of New York in Rochester. And she actually was kind of accosted, not literally physically, but verbally, by a few people on the panel of her thesis at her girls' school for being pro-life. And they asked her why she didn't use more sources from the Guttmacher Institute as opposed to the pro-life scholars that she used. So we've got everything going on in our house in terms of, you know, my husband and I were both public school educated in high school, so we didn't imagine our kids would end up at Catholic high schools just because we had great faith in public education. But I began to see all of this coming down the pike, I would say, when my kids were about seventh and fifth grade. And we're very glad we chose Catholic high schools, but we've kind of been astonished at the real reticence by some of them to embrace the pro-life cause. And we see that now at their colleges as well. Mm-hmm. One goes to Loyola, Maryland, and they do everything they can in their power to, you know, promote the choice mentality. And my son's a Catholic, and he has just had an amazing 4 years of education, and they are very, very, they are definitively pro-life, I would say, a Catholic, mm-hmm. you know, so mm-hmm. much so that if you remember last spring when the Catholics for Choice group, student group on their campus flashed up those slides on the side of the Basilica, you know, there was a right. vociferous outcry from the majority of his classmates about how absurd that was. So mm-hmm. I just feel like we don't really have a cohesive, worldview mm-hmm. right now, and that I feel is one of the things that is really tearing the Catholic mm-hmm. faith apart.
Oh, Alicia, yeah, we're very divided in the church. I mean, it's very interesting. Just look at the surveys that come out, and you know, it's almost shocking what you see about those that attend Mass on a regular basis, and yet their beliefs are very, different from what the church teaches. And so it's very interesting. But Alicia, first, I wanted to say thank you so much for being a professor, and you shared how hard it is and how but it sounds like you've really had the courage to do what you needed to do and get your voice heard and be able to do it well. I just want to say this. This is interesting. I think that this is my personal opinion. There's such a fear out there, and there's a fear in the church. There's a fear in Catholic schools that people are going, that the leaders say, and I've heard this, let's not talk about this, or people are going to walk away from us. People are going to stop giving. Okay. You know, let's face it. A lot of it comes down to money. We know that. And we need bold, courageous, church leaders and lay people to step up and talk the talk, walk the walk, and do things the Catholic, the real Catholic way, the authentic Catholic way. That's how I say we could fix it. But you know, you get a lot of people out there that say, "Oh, we're not keeping up with the times. We gotta be changing. We gotta be evolving. We gotta keep up with the culture." I don't really buy that, and I think it's very dangerous, and it's a slippery slope, and we're all gonna end up, you know, going down a really dark path. So I could go on and on, Alicia, but I tell you, it's a tough. We're navigating some tough waters right now, especially even within the Catholic Church. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, what came to my mind is the passage in Genesis 18, you know, where, you know, the individual, who's asking God, you know, what if there are 50 righteous here? What if there are only 40? What if, right. You know, we're kind of in that situation right now. Finally, it gets down to, what if there are only 5? And God says, I'm going to destroy it. I think we're in a situation right now of, we have small pockets of people who are very, very orthodox and faithful and you know, love the truth and pro-life and all of that. And unfortunately, a lot of people were surrounded by, and I don't say this self-congratulatory or, you know, self-applause or anything, but sitting around us in the pews who you have to wonder, you know, what is their faith? How serious are they about the faith? You know, and mm-hmm. you said, well, you know, what, they may stop giving money. Well, are they giving money anyway? You know, mm-hmm. and it really, I think, you know, what did Satan say to St. John Vianney? If there were 5 priests like you, I'd be defeated. He didn't say, you know, if there were millions of priests in the world, I'd be defeated. Mm-hmm. If there were 5 like you, I would be defeated. So the strength is not in the numbers necessarily. Anyway, I don't know if any of that made sense. Probably not.
No, it does. Alicia, final comments.
Oh, well, you know, I have to be, full disclosure is that I was not always a pro-life feminist. I kind of kept my, at least not publicly, I was very much, you know, a professor who had been schooled in race, gender, class in grad school, and I quietly just hoped that, you know, people would make the right choice, but I wasn't going to be the one forcing them to do so. And the funny thing is, I've been in the fire of public education for so long that I began to see how the ideologies were really harming my students in the long run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every year when I teach World Art One, which basically, you know, when we get to the end of the semester and we talk about Gothic cathedrals and their amazing architecture, and not one of my students, although they profess to be Christian, has ever stepped foot in a cathedral or a church. You really see where, you know, the last 60 years we've gone awry in terms right. of separating people from what they need to, you know, be a fully educated and spiritual person. So, right. you know, sometimes when you're in the belly of the beast, that's when the biggest conversion happens. So now I bring True. It right into the classroom, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, good for you. Way to go. That is awesome. And you know what? We're all evolving and growing and learning and changing. And that's great. And it's what we're doing today that is most important to God. And so I just say more power to you, Alicia. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and all the years of your experience in the classroom. That's phenomenal. I love our professors.
Mm-hmm. Well, as my mom used to say, yours probably too, you know, but for the grace of God, go I.
Go I. Mm-hmm.
So again, circling back to what I was saying before, I'm not, I count it pure gift that I have the faith that I do. I have been,
Me too.
You know, I've been a wretch in handling that great gift of God's faith that he has given me, but I trust in his mercy. So we really have to approach this, Debbie, I think, you know, in a balanced sort of way. I know you would not disagree with this, but for those mm-hmm. maybe who call themselves Catholic, but, you know, hold, you know, positions that are contrary to our morals and so forth, they just need our prayers and our understanding, and we need mm-hmm. to try to maybe gently bring them along toward, you know, the truth of what God has revealed to us.
Yeah, and look around you, like Alicia did, and see what's happening to people. Is it in their best interest? Is it going to get them to heaven? Are they having a deep sense of God? Do they have a relationship with God? If you see that people are kind of, you know, shallow or hollow, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to go be in union with God. And this is a training ground. So please, let's step up and be bold, courageous Catholic Christians and go out into the world and really help others. I agree, Jerry. Totally.
Okay, we're going to go back to your calls. Marie, thanks for your patience. Just a couple more minutes. And after Marie, we have Kelly and Ed and Mariana and Carl. God willing, we'll get to all of you here on today's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, talking about your educational choices for your children, given what's going on in a lot of our schools today. And we'll be right back to take more of your calls.
Have your school choices changed? That's what we're asking today on Take Two. You have plenty of time to get in on and be on air with us, but don't wait any longer. 833-288-3986. I just want to quickly go back to Gabriel's call, our first caller from Bremerton. And I was just thinking about, he said that they have twin preschoolers. Everybody's under the age of five. And I'm thinking, all that beautiful little chatter and that noise. Can you imagine the kids just gathering around the dinner table and they just are, you know, giggling and laughing and maybe even crying and yelling. And I just love that. I love the sound of small voices that just fill the house and mm-hmm. it comes alive. And the same thing happens when you hear, I think, when you hear these beautiful little voices at church. There are so many, last weekend, Jerry, Father Set made, during the homily, he made a really definite point to his homily. And right at the moment he made that, you know, powerful, you know, just a declaration of things, this little voice just screamed out. And it was, and he's like, yes, amen. It was so cute. But, yeah. You know, you just got to love the little ones. And it's just beautiful. And then Jesus talked about that. Remember, their angels in heaven are beholding the face of God. So we've got to take care of our little ones. Okay, Maria's up next in Dallas, Texas, Sirius XM 130. Hello, Marie.
Good morning. I'm a first-time caller. I wanted to call. Yay! I'm an 8-year homeschooling mom. I'm a veteran of doing this for a long time. It was not our first choice. It was not our second choice. But what encouraged me was this beautiful nun named Mother Angelica. And one day, in one of her old broadcasts, she said, well, if you don't like the school, why don't you just pull them out and homeschool them? And I said, okay. and that's how it started. And I just want to encourage parents, because your children are only young once. They're only young once. And we pulled our daughter out after second grade, and it was difficult. It was difficult for her because she had been in Catholic school and public school and knew what that experience was like. And we had a daughter 4 years younger than that, and it was scary at first. But I want to encourage parents who are feeling it in their souls at this moment. Can I do this? Is this something we can do as a family? Is this even possible? I don't even know how. The resources online, the people who are around you, there are so many people there to encourage you. And it has utterly, blessedly changed our lives. And I would never do it any differently. And this year we have a junior in high school. And if you wonder, how on earth can I teach a 16-year-old chemistry? Well, don't worry. There are so many wonderful resources of people who do that for you, and they do it well, and they're professors, and they're Catholic. And there's Homeschool Connections, which is an online program that is just sensational. There's Seton. There's Mother of Divine Grace. The curricula out there is immense, and you can use what you like and don't use what you don't enjoy, but your children's souls are so important. And, Debbie, mm-hmm. what you were saying about the beautiful voices in church, my children are different from the other kids. You can tell. And when we're in church, they know what they're doing. They sing. They are engaged. They love the Lord. They pray the rosary with us every day. And we have created this. It doesn't happen overnight, but it is a beautiful life. And we make sacrifices. My husband works. I do not. I stay home and I'm with the children. But it is. I just want to encourage any parent who's listening, who is so frustrated, and we've been there, mm-hmm. with what's going on, that you can pull your child out. And in many states, there's just a few things that you need to do. There are resources online that tell you how to do it legally, and it is an option. Mm-hmm. Never right. think that there's no choice. So I know not everyone can do it, but I'm speaking just for homeschooling moms. It's the most wonderful choice we ever made. And I'm so grateful Mother Angelica said that one day, and I listened. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to tell you, Marie, a couple things. I was asked a couple years back to teach a couple classes for a homeschooling program, and I was amazed at how it has advanced, and the networking and the ability for the children to be exposed to so many things, just like as if they were in public school or private school. And so you're spot on about that. And I just wanted to say too that, you know, you credited Mother Angelica, absolutely. She was amazing, right? And she spoke, you know, in that bold way, and she kind of challenged people to rise up and do things really well for their children and to protect their children. But recently, I just heard a very well-known, I won't mention his name, a very well-known speaker and radio host, and he was very strong. He went out there on radio and he said, you know, if you just look around what's going on with our children, and just like what you said, Marie, they're only young once, and the parents have just one shot at this. One shot, okay? Because once they go out into the world, they're independent, right? And he said, I would recommend, if you can do it, homeschool your kids immediately. And I have to tell you, Marie, I thought about that. And I was a stay-at-home mom when my kids were little. My kids went to public school. But I will tell you that if I was raising kids today, I would definitely, this is me personally, I would work two jobs. I'd have my husband work three jobs. I don't care. I would keep my kids under my protection, because I know that if I'm going to stand in front of God, I'm going to answer for that based on what I did, rather than saying, well, I you know, sent them off to here, or I thought it was Catholic, but I didn't realize it was Catholic because I wasn't involved and I was busy doing other things. There's many, many things that happen. I know, and I'm not judging or criticizing any families, because everybody's got to make money, put food on the table. But if you can do it, I totally agree with Marie. I would consider homeschooling. Jerry?
Mm-hmm. Can't add anything to that. Just what you said, Marie, you only get one. The kids are only young once. And what parents like you and so many others, wonderful parents, realize is that they're not only young once, but their young formative years are going to determine who they are as adults. Mm-hmm. If they're going to, you know, remain in the faith, if they're going to have, you know, moral standards and strive for virtue and to contribute to the common good of society and all of that. So God bless you, Marie. Anything else you wanted to add?
I just want to say that I think it's our Blessed Mother directing all of us that are in this mm-hmm. movement, and mm-hmm. she wants to bring everyone to Jesus on purpose, and yeah. no one is going to leave you hanging. If the Holy Spirit's calling you to it, believe me, you can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it, mm-hmm. and it's just that if there's stuff out there, be not afraid. That's all I want to tell you, but that's it's
be
just
not
so,
afraid.
It's so, yeah, be not afraid.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to take a risk. You have to, anything you do, look at Jerry and I are taking a risk going out on radio and ministering. I mean, you take a risk when you're doing things for God. You know, what did Mother Angelica say? Let's go back to Mother Angelica. You got to do the, ridiculous.
So yeah, God so can God. Do the miraculous, yeah.
Exactly. So there is risk involved in anything. And I just think our children are so precious. We must protect them, you know, with all our might. I just believe it. So Marie, powerful statement you made today. You sound like an incredible mom. We're so glad you were a first-time caller, but you're not a first-time caller anymore. So call us again, okay?
Thank you.
All right. God bless Marie in Dallas. 833-288-3986. Take two with Jerry and Debbie here on EWTN Radio. With back to school right about now. In fact, where I live, the school started August 1st. I was amazed at that. They got out, you know, what, late June. They had like maybe 6 weeks of summer vacation. We used to have more than that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're just talking to you about, you know, how your philosophy, your perspective, your choices regarding your kids' education, if they've changed at all based on some of the ideologies that are being taught. Definitely maybe after the pandemic, you know, you made some changes there that have become permanent in your family. 833-288-3986.
And I just want to say this real quickly. If you're if you cannot homeschool, if that's not an option, because you have to, you know, have two, you know, both parents working to maintain the family, and that's understandable in this day and age with the recession and the gas prices, we get it. We know we're all struggling. Okay. At least do this. Try to get somebody like your mother, your father, the grandparents I'm talking about. Try to get somebody to be the homeroom parent at your kid's school to just keep an eye on your children. That's the one thing I did really well, Jerry. I was the homeroom parent for my boys every single year. Every single year. Hmm. Why? Because I wanted to watch what was going on. And so if you can do that, at least I think that can really help. What do you think about that?
No, I agree. In fact, as you were talking, I thought parents, guardians, one way or another, you must homeschool your kids. Let me explain. Maybe you don't do all of the homeschooling, but when they get home from school, you've got to do some schooling. You got to look at their textbooks, learn what they're being taught in school, and maybe you need to do some correcting of some of those things. So I would say, Debbie, one way or another, parents must engage in teaching their kids in the home.
Right. Well said. Okay. Kelly is up next in Vermont on the EWTN app. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I live in Vermont. I love it here. It's where I was born, but it's a very, very, very liberal state. I'm a grandparent. Mm-hmm. I have a grandson who'll be in second grade and a third grade and another one who will be in first grade. And I want to know, how do we find out what is going on in school? Because I feel like Vermont is one of those states which maybe is not terribly forthcoming on their curriculum. So how does one find out what their status is on gender ideology and critical race theory so mm-hmm. that I can talk to my daughter about these things? She cannot homeschool, and they don't have a mm-hmm. Catholic school nearby. But I would be willing to do it for them. But I'd have to be able to gently convince them mm-hmm. that this is what needs to be done. So how do you find out what's going on in school?
Right. Do you live near your daughter, Kelly?
I do, about 20 minutes
okay.
away.
Okay, perfect. Okay, ask your daughter for her permission to go to the kids' school or to go to the district and pull the curriculum. You have every right to see the curriculum. You have every right to see what they're doing. Even I would ask your daughter if you could possibly, like just what I said earlier, if you could ask your daughter, say, can I be one of the homeroom parents? Can I sign up? Would you give me permission to do that? Can I just be on campus? When you're on campus, Kelly, I can assure you, you see a lot. Believe you me, I did it for many, many years. And the things I saw, sometimes I'd walk away going, well, that was well done. And other times I'd say, uh-uh, that ain't happening with my kids. Okay. And you got to be on campus. You have to be involved. If you can get your daughter, if she's busy working, if she'll give you permission, absolutely. If your daughter gives permission, they have to welcome grandparents. That's what they did in my day. I don't know if they still do it, but public schools usually have to accommodate the parents' wishes. What do you think, Kelly? Can you do that?
I might be able to. I'm a little bit disabled, but mm-hmm. I probably could. It wouldn't be easy, but I think that, you know, with God's help, definitely. Is it lawful? Can they keep things from you? I mean, what if it's not a written curriculum? What if it's just kind of...
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just kind of covert.
Well, yes, I understand. Right. I understand what you're saying. And let me just share something, and maybe we can have some teachers weigh in on this. It's a difficult situation because, as we stated earlier, we love our teachers. They do a phenomenal job forming young minds. However, I will tell you, in my personal experience with my kids that went through public school, I saw things that were not told and were done and were not told to parents. And this was way back in the day. My kids are my oldest is in his 30s and my youngest is 26. Okay. Okay. And way back then, there were some things that they would kind of fly under the radar and not tell parents. The only reason I knew is because I was there. I was in the office. I was in the you know, I was stapling things and I could hear it. And I went, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. So unfortunately, when you're dealing with people, Kelly, you will get people that will do things with their own agendas, you know, their own ways of doing things, and they'll try to see if they can fly it past. It's kind of I hate to say it this way, it's kind of human nature. So you really do have to be there a little bit in an investigative role, kind of with your eyes and ears and really watching out. That's what I would suggest.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And if you could keep her and her family in your prayers, that would help.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll put Kelly's whole entire family. If you don't have to give us any first names if you don't want to, but we'll put everybody in the book, okay?
No, that's okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kelly. Yeah, God
Thank
bless.
You. Okay. I hope that was good advice. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like we got to watch everybody, but in this day and age, you kind of have to watch everybody. I just have to say it because people, you know, people have their own agendas. Open line Wednesdays, Jerry, with Father Mitch Pacwa. Wednesday, 3 Eastern time at Encores, 10 p.m. Eastern time on EWTN Radio. And Father Mitch answers listeners' questions on church teachings. Exactly what we were talking about, and he's very good about that.
Excellent, excellent program all 5 days of the week. Okay, Ed has been holding patiently in Oakland Park, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Ed. Thank you so much for your patience. Glad we got to you.
I'm glad I was able to keep you on the phone because I was driving in my car, and I finally got home. And, you know, when you open the car door, your radio cuts off, and sometimes the phone cuts off.
Oh, but yeah, stayed good. On. Oh, praise God.
It stayed on. I think I'm a first-time caller to you guys, but I'm not sure. I called a couple times and couldn't get through, and I hung up the phone, whatever. And it wasn't to other programs. To my favorite is like Catholic Answers and all that. They answer all my questions. I don't even have to call in there.
Anyhow, great.
This is about schooling and stuff. I am 75 years old. I graduated in 1964. So my comment, and my daughter just had a couple of kids a few years ago. One is 5 or 6, and one is 4, and she's been homeschooling them. And she was going to send them to public school, and I advised her against that. I said, and at the same time, she was going to do that. Of course, there was another shooting, and then some time went by, and there was another shooting. I said, don't send them to public school. I said, they can't protect them. That's not safe. So she's going to continue to homeschool them. Mm-hmm. So I suggested her send them to Catholic school, but the problem with that is I sent both my daughter and my son, I have 4 kids, I sent 2 of them to Catholic school, and one turned out to be an atheist, and she says, well, I believe in God, but you don't go to church or believe in religion. So I don't know what happened there, but anyhow, my call-in specifically was to make a statement to the liberal left, but none of them listen to this radio station, so I'm not even
never
sure
know.
What they were
never
doing.
Know, Ed.
Well, Ed, I just have to tell you, we get a lot of emails. So we do have a lot of folks that, kind of go in that direction, and they actually love what they hear on EWTN. So take it away.
Taking it away. All right. Since I graduated in 1964, that's about when they stopped prayer in public school and abortion was initiated. Now, Stalin, we learned, murdered 60 million of his people. They were able to fight back. We murdered over 70 million defenseless unborn children. They were not able to fight back. That's just wrong on so many levels. Even if you don't believe in God, that has to be, that's just wrong. And you know, they did everything they could to eliminate God from society, breaking, they want to destroy the Ten Commandments and all the buildings and stop all religious showings of anything and Christmas time, the mangers and all that, everything they possibly could to eliminate God. And they never, never eliminated Satan. They just decided, well, there is no such a thing as Satan. There is no God, so there's no Satan. But they never eliminated Satan. They never eliminated the word Satan like they eliminated the word God. And I just want to ask all the liberals listening out there, gee, how's that been working out for you for the last 60 or 70 years? When I was in high school, we had a rifle team. We would bring our rifles to school and put them on our locker. Nobody ever got shot. Nobody ever got shot even on the range. Nobody ever got shot. No kids ever got shot anywhere when I was in school. But then the liberals said, oh, we can't have God. We can't have prayer. We can't have this. And well, let's murder all of our children if we don't want them. You know what abortion is? All that is a lust and greed. That's all that is. It has nothing to do with anything except lust and greed. And out of all the millions of abortions, very, very, very few of them were done because the life of the mother was at stake or the life of the baby or something.
Very few. Tiny percentage, yeah.
A tiny percentage. So if they passed an abortion law, there should be a nationwide abortion law passed by Congress that said there will be absolutely no abortions whatsoever unless specifically the life of the mother is at stake or the life of the baby. And then if a doctor or somebody lies about that, then they will be prosecuted for murder.
Right.
That should be the abortion law. And then it should be in all states and all territories.
Ed, beautiful call. Great stuff. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to jump in here and just offer a couple thoughts, and Debbie might have something to add. But, you know, moral blindness is kind of it's a process. You know, people don't just wake up one day and they're hardened pro-abortion advocates. I think, you know, we slowly kind of ingest certain ideologies and they have influences on us, and maybe hang out with, you know, people who are like-minded in that regard and so forth. So, you know, moral blindness, it becomes worse. It becomes worse and worse. And I think that's associated with the saying that I've heard, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You mentioned the money part of this. love of money is the root of all evil, as it says in the Bible. Not some evil, not just a few evil things, but all evil. Love of money is at the root of that. And so, Debbie, Ed has made some great points, I think.
Yeah, and I just wish we could go back to a place where we really look at how God intended for us to live, how he designed it, how he set it up, and we adhere to that. We obey the commands. And I just wish we could get back to that simpler way and more godly way, because I think it would help all of us, Ed. Thank you so much for being a first-time caller. Again, after today, you're not a first-time caller anymore, so call us again. Thank you. Mariana's up next, I believe.
Yep, in San Antonio, listening on Alexa. Hello, Mariana. How are you?
Hello. I'm a first-time caller, too.
Oh, great.
Yes. Well, good morning. I just wanted to say my experience. I think God just gave us this opportunity. This is I changed my kids from a public school to another public school, but it's a charter. So they have this school in Texas and Arizona, and but it's like I'm going to a private school, actually, right. Because they have all this traditional, they have classical education. Mm-hmm. My kid started having Latin in fifth grade, and right. And they have all this policy, like there's no pop culture allowed in the school at all, ever. So you cannot bring anything from the outside of pop culture. They don't celebrate Halloween. They don't celebrate any other but Good Friday and Christmas.
Wow.
That's the only thing they celebrate.
Right.
They celebrate books and authors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't celebrate, like in Halloween, they will dress as authors of books, and they will mm-hmm. celebrate the books, right?
Yeah. Well, Mariana, I have to tell you, I have to jump in because we have a lot of charter schools here in Arizona, and I am very impressed with them. Very impressed, especially what you said about the classical curriculum, the traditional way, reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, getting things back to where kids are really learning things that they can use in the future. And I'm very impressed. As a matter of fact, so much so that I volunteered a few times at charter schools, and I was like, wow, I wish this was around when my kids were younger. It just had started, so people were uncertain about it. But yeah, that's wonderful to have that classical education, Jerry.
No, I agree. I did not get that in high school, but Mariana, when I went to college, I actually was able to take Latin for 2 years, and Latin just opened up so many. It opened up the English language for me in so many ways, because you learn how many of our words and our language is kind of descended from Latin, and many other languages are. And of course, classical education, involves so many other things: an appreciation for art, mm-hmm. certainly the humanities, sciences, moral foundation. Even it gets into things like, you know, patriotism and how we're to view That's our right. country, and we have a obligation before God to be patriotic. So you've obviously found a good solution, Mariana, for your kids.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Mariana. Thank you so very much. And call us again, please. A great, great take on this topic today, Jerry.
I'm trying to remember the diocese. I think it's Wichita in Kansas. They offer free Catholic education to all of the steward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a stewardship diocese where people mm-hmm. actually give, and some of that goes to giving free tuition-free education for Catholic schools. That may be done in some other places as well, but I tell you what, we've got to this some way or another. You know, we've got to find a way to get our young people, their minds and hearts formed in the virtues, in the faith, and in being, mm-hmm. you know, contributing members to society. You know, so mm-hmm. I think
wholesome education—that's what we really need. Cheryl, our dear friend in Lake Havasu, Arizona. We're not going to get to you. You wanted to remind everyone about tuition aid for Catholic schools. Yes, absolutely. Denise is another homeschooling parent. Way to go, Denise! And the others have some takes on public schools, private schools, Catholic schools. You had a lot to say today, and that was great discussion. I think we learned a lot today, Jerry.
We did. And tomorrow we're going to revisit a topic we did maybe a couple years ago. We want to hear what you're praising God for. Okay, there's a lot of reasons to be discouraged and down and things going tough and challenges and all of that, but we still must praise God for his blessings. So tomorrow we're going to ask you, what are you praising God for today? That's on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks again to Ace, Matt, Jeff, the show team. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, pray for us.